Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Pastor Chiwanda.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm quite well.
Very well. I hope you had a fantastic weekend.
Yes, it was.
Lovely, man. Lovely. Well, I had a good one as well. And the day started so well on my side, and hoping that your side has been good today also.
Exactly.
Lovely. Now, we are going to be talking about this subject this week, maintaining purity in a hypersexualized culture. Now, one writer, says, ours is a culture of sexual confusion, oppression and slavery that makes itself as a culture of sexual freedom. Now, in our conversation this week, we want to bring honesty and practicality together with transparency into the conversation on God's design for human sexuality. Now, Pastor, what is purity in the context of our theme this week?
I think purity must be defined by Christ.
Right.
What do you think? What do you think?
It has purity to be. Has to be. Has to be.
It has to be defined by Christ. Mm. So I have a passage here from Matthew chapter 5.
Right.
Verse 8 reads, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God.
Mm-hmm.
Whose hearts are pure. So purity in this case is purity of the mind.
Okay.
Purity of thoughts.
Mm.
We are in a hyper-sexualized culture.
Mm.
Everything is being sexualized, including the public space.
Mm.
Anything outside your home, anything outside yourself has been sexualized.
Mm. Mm.
So that when you think you are enticed to think sex-wise, When you talk, you are supposed to be conversing about sex.
Mm.
When you write, you write of sex. When you sell, you employ sexual figures and the characters in order to sell your product. When you watch TV, you will be exposed to sex.
Mm.
When you read a book, it's about sex. Mm. Social media is popularizing sex.
Mm.
So sex has become the thought of the day.
Mm. Yeah.
How can you be different?
Yeah.
Jesus says, you have to be different from right in your mind.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Actually, what you're saying is true, because I've been noticing a lot when people are advertising cars, for instance. Cars have nothing to do with naked women. But you would see a semi-naked woman next to a car. Exactly. I mean, or someone, you know, they are selling a building material. And there you see a semi-naked lady. I mean, what does that have to do with building material? So I think it's very clear that we live in a world that has to include sex in everything that is done there. So yeah, I think I concur with you that this generation is just hypersexualized. Yeah. So you're saying that according to Matthew, we do have to maintain a pure mind.
A pure mind means one that has excluded that culture by deliberate choice, to exclude the culture, to expel it from your mind. Yeah, because your mind is going to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be invaded by the culture.
Mm-hmm.
That culture is so powerful that you can't resist it.
Mm.
Because it's part of life. The culture is part of life.
How do you...
It is dictating everything.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
How does one purify their mind then?
That's a very important question. How does one purify their mind?
Mm.
There is a question that is also asked in, I think it's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. I think I'll use that text to answer that question because it's important. It's an important question. How does one purify their mind then? It's a very, very important question.
Yeah.
It's a question also in verse 9, 119, Psalm 119, verse 9. It
says,
how can a young man stay pure? It's like your question, isn't it? How can a young man stay pure? By obeying your word.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
By obeying your word. So it's the word of God that can purify my mind. As I fill my mind with the word of God. It's something a bit traditional to some people. They might say, don't talk about the Bible. Don't talk about the word of God. We are talking about a society that has been hypersexualized.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing the word of God? We are bringing in the word of God because that's the only thing that can purify our minds.
Yeah. Now,
it can also fortify the strength of our minds to refuse what must be refused, to accept what needs to be accepted as directed by the very word of God.
Yeah.
So without the word of God, we may not be purified because we are in a society that has been polluted by that culture itself. So our minds are bound to be corrupted as well. Yes.
Now, Pastor, tell me, you know God created male and female, Adam and Eve. And as he created them, he says to them, first instruction actually that he gives to them, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And effectively, by implication, he says to them, engage in sexual activity.
Exactly.
As a very first, instruction from God. He says, listen, guys, you've got to engage in sex so that you can actually be, fruitful and also multiply. Now, how then can we term that impure when, in fact, it is God himself that created humanity, male and female, in that sense?
You are talking about sexuality.
Yeah.
Sexuality is a gift of God to human beings. So sexuality cannot be impure.
Okay.
It is hypersexuality that we are saying is impure.
I see.
But by calling it also impure, we mean to say that hypersexuality, if it is outside a marriage circle. Because what God is introducing there is within a marriage, a spousal relationship between husband and wife. Actually, a sexual intimacy has to be between husband and wife.
Right.
Other than that, or outside marriage, then it's illicit sex. It's what God has not condoned. And anything that God has not condoned is impure. Because it is marred by sin.
Now tell me, Pastor, you're saying that sexuality has got to be between male and female in a marriage setting. Now, can one of them be hypersexual within the context of marriage? I've heard people saying that, my husband wants to have sex all the time, morning, day, and evening. And I've seen one guy saying that I cannot cope with my wife. Every time she sees me, she wants to have sex. And can we have hypersexuality in a marriage setting?
Yes, we can have that in a marriage setting.
And is that impure?
And for me, when I look at that in a marriage setting, you know, in a marriage setting, I don't see anything sinful.
So therefore, hypersexuality is not.
Yes, in marriage, it's acceptable in the sense that if one is hypersexual, the other one is less hypersexual, then they have to communicate this difference.
I see.
And try to understand what is causing the hypersexuality in one, and what is causing its less degree in the other one.
I see.
Maybe it's a health issue.
Mm.
Maybe it's the food they are taking.
Mm.
Maybe it's something related to factors of their life.
I see.
The two of them can discuss it. And if also one spouse thinks that the hypersexuality of the other one is making the other one uncomfortable,
I see.
The one who is uncomfortable can express it. But, hey, my friend, this thing is becoming too much for me.
Mm.
It hurts me here. It hurts me here. It pushes me this far. It extends to this, and it makes me feel like this.
Yeah.
That kind of communication mm. between the two of them
yeah.
is very good.
Yeah.
But also before the one receiving the hyperactivity from the other one, before calling it nasty or a hassle or something like a trouble on his part or her, they should also try to say, to try to understand the one who is hypersexual.
I see.
To understand it as positive before they can negate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to be getting much deeper into, you know, the context of marriage perhaps on Friday as we're discussing this. And I want us to actually dissect it properly on Friday in as far as the marriage context is concerned. But then, Pastor, as we get to the close of our conversation this afternoon, of course, we're doing an introductory conversation here. Is sexual purity still attainable in this day and age? I mean, you hear of children as early as 14 years old, 15 years old, pregnant. You open social media, you see naked people all around us. You go to church, but these days men don't want to wear appropriately, with chests out, and with women with short, skimpy, and tight clothes, and with the breasts all out for everyone to see, and everywhere we go. Honestly, is it a practical thing to say no, in light of everything that happens around us, you can still maintain sexual purity? Doesn't sound practical, do you think?
Yeah, the practicability of purity, sexual purity, in our day is hinged on my relationship or our relationship with Jesus Christ.
I see.
Because, you know, Jesus is holy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is pure. And his word is holy.
Mm-hmm.
His word is also pure. The Holy Spirit is a power that changes me, transforms my life,
yeah,
and makes me a new being day in, day out.
Mm-hmm.
Day in, day out. He purifies me daily.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moment by moment process.
Right, right.
So I would like to submit that with Jesus in me, and I, by faith in Jesus, it is very possible to be pure in our day.
Well, beautiful.
In fact, that question, I would refer you to Daniel chapter 12, verse 3.
Okay.
And verse 10. Daniel 12, verse 3 and verse 10 concretize the fact that in the last days, the very last day, people will be pure people, very, very pure.
Mm.
And they will be reflecting the character of Jesus Christ, because they'll be shining like the firmament
yeah.
in the sky,
mm-hmm.
in their characters. So holiness is possible today with Christ in our lives.
Well, Pastor, thank you so much for making that emphasis that, holiness, you say, is practical in our day with Christ in our lives. Now, tomorrow, we are going to be focusing on the physical, emotional, and social spiritual impact of our choices relating to sex. But for today, Pastor, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure giving an introduction and laying a foundation for our discussion this afternoon. Blessings to you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.